Welcome to the Wealth Matters Podcast, where investors come together to better understand how to build passive cash flow and create generational wealth without all the confusing mumbo-jumbo. Here's your host and co-author of Amazon number one bestseller, Alpesh Pamar.
Welcome to Wealth Matters Podcast. Hope everyone is doing great today. I have an interesting guest today, Fred Moskowitz. He's an educator and a best-selling author who has trained countless investors from all walks of life on how to create passive income streams of their own. And as you guys know, I'm very passionate about creating as many streams of income as possible. And if those are passive, that's even icing on the cake, because you don't have to work for them day to day in your day to day life. So as a fund manager, Fred manages a mortgage note investment fund and is considered an industry veteran within the note investing arena. So welcome, Fred.
Thank you. Thank you, Alpesh. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. We are going to have fun today. So we'll start with some fun topic. Tell us something interesting or strange about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Something interesting about myself. I love music and I play jazz guitar. I've been doing it for many years. Yeah. And, you know, I find that it's, for me, it's a great way to relax, relieve stress, totally shift my mind from anything else that I've been doing that day. It's like you go into a separate mode, a separate place with music, and I love that. I love that. It is really something that when you do a creative activity, it doesn't matter whether it's music or art,
anything,
or writing.
Yeah,
it shifts you and puts you into a different mode. And, you know, maybe during earlier on, you were working on solving a problem and you didn't know what to do. And then you go off and do something creative. Right. And oftentimes the solution comes to you because you're not focused on that. You're focused on something completely different. So I love that. Yeah, that's a big thing for me.
I agree. So that is one of the things I want to, you know, start playing an acoustics guitar. That's what I want to do. But once I have the 25th hour in the day, I'll start looking into it.
Do it for 10 minutes a day.
Don't think
you need an hour. 10
right.
minutes is a great place to start. Start there.
Right. But I agree. So that's what I do. I work out, right? And that's when I relieve all my stress.
Nice.
I forget about everything else. First thing in the morning when I work out, that is when, you know, I'm in the zone. And,
yeah.
That's when I can relax, even though I'm going hard at the workout, right?
That's
the key. You should be able to do something which you enjoy, plus it's creative, right? As you said, because it will take your mind off of a lot of other garbage stuff.
that's so true, Alpesh. You know what else? I agree with you. Exercise is so important no matter what we do. But one of the benefits, Alpesh, is when you're exercising, you get your blood flowing and that delivers oxygen to your brain. Right. So there's all of these benefits coming to you.
Yeah.
And I feel that as business owners, as entrepreneurs, as professionals, we need lots of energy.
Yes.
To do what we do. And so exercise is so important.
Yep. And reduces the cortisol level in your body. A lot of, you know, all the serotonin increases serotonin.
Yes.
I can't sleep if I have not worked out that day. So that's how it works. I know that if I don't do any physical activity, I can't get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
So let's talk about investment, because this is an investment show.
What
was your first investment and how did it work out for you?
Well, my first investment was a very active investment. when I was like 12 years old, I decided I wanted to start a business. So I went and bought candy wholesale, you know, in bulk quantity. So my investment was putting out the capital to do that. And then I was selling the candy at school. And I made a business out of it. And it went well for a while, but I was, after some time, it was attracting too much attention, and I was getting in trouble trouble at schools from the administration. They said, you know, we see you have entrepreneurial desires, but you can't do this here. And so finally I had to stop. But that was my first investment. It's putting my capital into creating something, and it was very rewarding. So I found that I really liked doing work where I was the one making the decisions. I was the business owner, even though it was a tiny business.
Yeah,
that's something that really inspired me.
Oh, that's huge, actually. That's I think what started you in this entrepreneurial journey, right? So it's important, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The seeds were sowed.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, even after doing that, I went on to study engineering. I became a computer engineer.
Yeah.
And then I was working in the tech industry. So it was like I put that entrepreneurial desires on the side for a while, and I went and pursued my engineering career. But then later on, I did come back to it.
Right.
So, yeah.
So your story is similar to mine. I did the engineering, the master's in computer science, worked for a while, and then somehow got into business for no reason. And now, you know, trying to run 3-4 businesses at the same time.
Yeah, I love that.
So let's talk about, because of course, as a business owner, we do always get in trouble with actually the medical insurance bills, right? So
yeah, a
lot of my listeners are W-2 employees, and they get really good, you know, benefits, and which includes medical insurance. And sometimes they do get something called HSA, health savings account. What is a health savings account?
Health savings account is a special account that's tax advantaged, and it's something that works together with a specific type of insurance called high deductible health insurance. And so a lot of times most employers offer that as one of the options when you choose your insurance, or if you get your own insurance off of the insurance exchanges, then there's always a HSA compatible option. And once you have that set up, you have to get an HSA compatible health plan, then you can open up an HSA account. And the way that works is you contribute into it and you get a tax deduction for it. And then the money in the account can grow tax-free. And then when you withdraw, as long as you're using it to pay for medical expenses, then it's tax-free also. And so think about the difference between a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA, right? Traditional IRA, you get the tax benefit on the contribution, but then you grow the money, and then when you withdraw, you pay taxes. The Roth is kind of the opposite. You pay the taxes before you deposit the money, you grow it, and then you can withdraw tax-free. But the HSA, it's the best of both worlds. You get the tax deduction going in, you grow the account, and then when you take money out, it's also tax-free. Now, the stipulation is it has to be for medical expenses. But the good thing about it that a lot of people don't realize is you don't have to take that money out. You can defer it. So you can defer it to a future date, which I like, because leave the money in the account and let it grow so you have the power of time compounding on your side.
That's interesting. So
yeah, you get to decide when you withdraw. So you can pay out of pocket. You don't have to reimburse yourself right away for all your medical expenses. You keep good records, pay out of pocket, and then sometime in the future, then you can reimburse yourself. But hopefully that's after you've invested in some good assets, grown the account. And for most people, your medical expenses will increase as you get older. Okay. Yeah. So if you're young and healthy now, great. Don't worry about it. Just let that account grow. It's a huge tax benefit. And I feel like not enough people know about it or understand how it works. But I'll tell you something. I love it. I have my account at a self-directed custodian so that I can self-direct. I invest my HSA into notes because that's my business is note investing, and that's where my expertise is. So when you do self-directed investing, you invest in what you know.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I feel is so powerful.
Got it.
It's not an all-encompassing solution.
Right.
This is just another tool for you to have in your investor toolbox.
Got it. So I have a lot of questions about all this. So one, you mentioned that can anyone get an HSA account, or you got to have the high deductible plan to be able to get it?
That's correct. You do.
Okay. So not anyone can get it. It's a first requirement is that you have to sign up for a medical insurance where its deductible is high.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. And second question is, can a business owner get the HSA as well if you are not a W-2 employee?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because you can go on the exchanges, on the insurance exchanges from what was set up during Obamacare.
Right.
And you can do that. Absolutely.
Got it. And you also already mentioned this, but I just want to make it clear. How should someone use HSA? And personally, I have HSA plan. And even as I think I'm pretty savvy on the finance world, and even then, I have been just paying off my medical bills as soon as they arrive using my HSA, even though it's like $10, $30, $60.
Yeah.
Someone kept telling me, one of my friends, that don't pay right now. So you are saying that you should hold off paying small medical expenses right now using HSA.
Absolutely. Pay them out of pocket. Keep good records. Just you can make a spreadsheet and save your receipts. Make a spreadsheet so you can keep track of it and let it build up. You get to decide when you get reimbursed. It doesn't have to be in the same year it was done. A lot of people think that, but no, you can do it 20 years from now. It's fine. You get to decide.
So it's not like that, because people compare it to that FSA, flexible spending account, where
that you lose it.
You use it or lose it, right?
No, that's
even
your account.
You don't need anything, a lot of people go and buy, you know, medicines, right?
That's right. No, that's your money, and it won't go away. And if for some reason you don't need it as medical expenses, when you withdraw, it will just be subject to your taxable guidelines. I mean, but for most people, you'll have medical expenses throughout your life.
Yeah.
So there'll be plenty of opportunities to reimburse yourself.
So far I already spent like 10 grand in last, you know, 5-6 years. I should have kept those money and let it grow. So my other question is, and I think this question I can ask my CPA as well, but for my listeners, as a business owner, because I have the S corporation, I don't know what you have, but you can also reimburse your medical expenses using something called HRA, health reimbursement account. So for my scenario, should I use that if I want to just pay off medical bills right now? So, you know, if I get a large medical bill, I use HRA and reimburse myself from my S-Corp and just keep the HSA money grow and then use it. I don't even have to keep the record right now. because I yeah. already, you know, got reimbursed and then use it later. Would that be a good strategy?
Yeah, I mean, any way that you can pay out of pocket or some other means and let the money in the HSA grow and accumulate, I think is best, because everything is based on compounding and time.
Right.
And so if you can keep reinvesting that money in that account, it will grow and really build up momentum over the years.
Got it.
Yeah.
And one more question I had, because now that you mentioned self-directed, right? And this is what, of course, as business owners, you and I do for our 401k, be it solo 401k or even my Roth IRA, where I self-direct. So I'm able to buy real estate. I'm able to actually invest in cryptos, gold, whatever I want to through self-directed. So when I explain someone about self-directed, they're like, oh yeah, I go and buy stock myself. I'm like, no. They are still keeping you in Wall Street, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Self-directed means you are able to fully control your actuary. You can write a check pretty much.
Yeah.
Wherever you want to. So my question about self-directed HSA is that as a W-2 or employees, usually they are tied to a custodian, like 401k, right?
Yes.
So are they able to move their HSA money out of that custodian into a self-directed custodian? Because 401k, they cannot. Till they leave that job or until they switch employer. But are they able to move over the HSA?
That's something that really depends on each administrator, what their rules are. Maybe in some cases you won't be able to until you leave that employer, but that's okay. Just let it build up, invest it how you can and let it build up. And then when the account's of a decent size, you can move it to a self-directed custodian and start investing. You can invest in real estate and notes. You can do private lending, all of these different things that are available.
Got
it. Yeah.
And what are some of the, because I know a lot of custodian on IRA side, Quest IRA, UDirect, Madison Trust, Bridge Financial. What are some of the custodians who support self-directed HSA?
All of them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah, I haven't found one yet that does not.
I see.
Yeah.
So that's even easier.
Yeah, it definitely does. But yeah.
Got it. And if someone doesn't qualify for HSA, right? It means they can't have a high deductible plan. Are there any alternatives?
No, they're not. But the only way you don't qualify for an HSA is if you're covered under someone else's medical plan or you have a medical plan that doesn't qualify as a high deductible health plan. And so it's just a matter of changing your health plan during the next year's period where you can make changes.
And do you have numbers for comparison? Like if someone is signing up for a new health insurance, what should they look for? And should they always go for HSA or high deductible health plans?
Yeah, I like the idea of doing it. That's a very personal question. I think there's no right or wrong answer. In general, high deductible health plans work for someone that's generally in good health and doesn't have high medical expenses. But if for someone that has high medical expenses on an ongoing basis, then it may not make sense for that person. And so that's something really need to take a look at, and you can talk it through with your advisors, your financial advisors, your CPA, because a lot of it comes down to those more personal details that someone needs to look at your overall picture and help with making that decision, give you the proper guidance on that.
Got it. So far what I have understood is that HSA is basically the best of traditional IRA and Roth IRA because you put your money, which are tax-free, and then when you are pulling the money out, they are also tax-free. But the big caveat is that you have to use that money for medical expenses.
Correct.
A couple of questions on that. Let's say 20 years down the line, I got a huge tax bill, and now my IRA, because I've been putting $2,000 a year, right? And it has grown to whatever, $100,000. If I take that money out and pay for medical expense, which is now, you know, 20 years from today, right? That on that day, not something which I'm trying to reimburse, which happened in past 20 years. So when I'm trying to reimburse myself, do I have to have a high deductible health plan at that time for medical expense, which happened, after 20 years?
No.
No, so I can still reimburse
myself. You have to have it during the time when you're contributing to it.
Okay. But
yeah,
I can use it whenever I have a medical expense.
Yes.
Got it. So that's another great thing, right? Because you are tied to the health plan at that point.
Correct. Yeah, people's situation changes and over time, that's natural.
Got it. And what about kids? Let's say the kid is now 25. And kid has his or her own medical insurance, but now there is a large medical bill for that kid. Can the parent use their HSA to pay for the kid's medical expense, even though the kid is not under parent's medical plan now?
Well, if in that scenario, you typically would do it as a family, not as an individual. So the HSA would be for the family. The health plan would be for the family. And so they would be covered under that.
Okay, that's awesome as well.
Yeah. But you would typically, if you getting insurance, you're purchasing it for your whole family.
Got it. No, but let's say, you know, the kid is now out of the home and they have their own medical insurance through their employer, right? So, and they had some kind of medical, you know,
later on, I see.
The parent wants to cover.
I'm not sure of that. That sounds like an edge case a little bit. Yeah. I haven't run into that myself, but yeah.
And anything else we didn't cover about HSA?
No, I think we covered everything. But the important thing that I like about it is that we can self-direct that account. And then that just opens up a lot of options for investing in different opportunities.
Yeah, no, I agree. Self-directing is the way to go because a lot of time we are already investing. Most of the people in U.S. and in the world, they are investing in Wall Street, right? Directly. And then also they are investing indirectly through their 401k, even if they don't know or don't know, right?
Yeah.
So if you are able to self-direct, then at least you are able to control one of this and a lot of the money which are your own, but you are not able to control fully, right? So I agree, self-directed is the way to go. So let's talk about your journey. What are some of the mistakes you have made with your investments or business?
Some of the mistakes that I've made, the biggest one that I've made was investing in really small deals. So as a note investor, where I invest in notes and mortgages on residential properties all over the U.S. And so I have in the past invested in very small notes, loans that had a 10K balance or 18K loan balance. And what I learned, Alpesh, is that it takes the same amount of work, effort, and expense, all of that, as it does to invest in a 10K note, as it does to invest in a 50K note or 150K note. And so I learned very quickly that I don't like those small deals so much because of that. It's like a very low return on your time and your efforts when you compare it to a larger deal. Very much like people that invest in real estate.
Yes.
They do single family houses, and then they get more advanced, and now they're involved in multifamily or commercial deals.
Exactly.
Where it's like, oh, we add a zero or two onto all the figures. You know, it's a whole order of magnitude. Same thing, same thing. And so that's something I learned early on, is that I don't like those small deals so much. And another thing, Alpesh, mistakes I've made is I invested in a alternative asset where the person that was managing it was not doing a good job, but they were part of the deal and you can't fire them. So the whole success of the investment deal, the deal we did, was relying on them. And that comes down to really your due diligence and vetting the people you're working with, and looking at what's their track record, what's their reputation. Because think of it, you're going into a long-term relationship when you're working with someone else in a business transaction. And so it's very important to perform due diligence, not only on the deal, but on the person.
Right.
That's so important, because everything's fine when things are going well, but what about when there's a problem? How will they behave and keep things moving when there's a problem? That's the important question to look into.
I agree. This is great. Thank you so much for sharing a lot of golden nuggets with us. Are you ready for fire round?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you be changing any business or investment strategy because of inflation or recession?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be focusing on building relationships, because that's what opens up opportunities as an investor. Building relationships is a skill that no matter what we do, it has so much value and benefit. And that's where opportunities come from. It's not from finding something posted on some website somewhere. It's from a phone call you get from a contact you have, a colleague, someone that you trust, that they have an opportunity they're sharing with you. That's very different.
Got it. Now that makes sense. Favorite investment or real estate related book?
Oh, there's so many. Wow. One that I love is Sam Zell's book. You know, Sam Zell, the real estate fund manager.
Yes.
He wrote a book, autobiography. Am I being too subtle? It's called. It's fantastic. So that's a nice real estate related one. And I'll tell you another one, which is very impactful, which is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That's more about mindset.
It's a classic.
Yeah. That's about mindset.
Both are great books. And I invest, because you mentioned about scaling up. So that's why I moved from a single family to apartment buildings. And now we buy mobile home parks and senior housing. And of course, we follow Sam Zell, because he's the mobile home park, the guru, the expert, whatever you call him, right? He's the guy to follow in the mobile home park industry. So yeah, he's amazing. Any tool or website you recommend or you cannot live without?
Well, yeah, absolutely. My favorite tool is a little app that you can run on your smartphone. It's called the 10BII, and it's financial calculator. And let me tell you something. It's the best $6 I've ever spent. Because you pull that up, you have it. So you have a financial calculator available all the time, right at your fingertips on the smartphone. And can you see that?
Yeah, I'm
so anytime I'm analyzing a note,
yes,
running numbers, you can check right there. It's the best.
That's awesome. I'm gonna check it out as well.
Yeah, it's called 10BII.
Yes, I was just searching as well. Thank you. Any advice for beginner investors?
Yes, absolutely. One of the most important things to understand to approach, especially with alternative investments, is to be in it for the long game. Investing is a marathon, not a sprint. And so, yes, sometimes you'll make money quickly, but don't count on it happening quickly. Count on it happening slowly, boring, slow and boring. Note investing totally is like that. It's long-term compound interest. Your money is compounding, and that time is, when time is on your side, it's a powerful force. And so as far as advice for someone new is, have patience. The opportunities will come, and be prepared so that you can jump in and take action when the time is right. But let things grow slowly. Slow and steady is going to be so much better than high volatility and fast appreciation and then fast price drops and all of that. And so when you go in with that outlook, it's going to allow you to weather any downturns, any hiccups that come along, any recessions, all of those financial difficulties that come up. For the investor that's in for the long term, they're going to do it very well throughout that time.
That's awesome. How do you give back?
I give back in many ways. I love giving back through education, through speaking. I speak at many events and conferences, speaking on podcasts as well, and writing. And so I always love sharing my ideas and concepts with other investors, and that allows people to learn and improve themselves financially through that. That was one of the biggest reasons why I wrote my book about note investing, was to give back, to share, and talk about some of the ideas and concepts that have benefited me throughout my life.
That's awesome. How can my listeners reach out to you?
Yeah, best way to reach me is through my website, which is fredmoskowitz.com. However, if you prefer an easier spelling, you can visit giftfromfred.com and reach me there. And my book on note investing is available on Amazon. It's called The Little Green Book of Note Investing. Always love connecting with investors, networking, and building relationships. And so I look forward to connecting with you.
Thank you so much, Fred, for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Matters podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so others can enjoy the show too. Have a great week and happy investing.